Would you turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. Many of us love the story of underdogs that overcome the odd, because we tend to relate with the underdogs. Though we may not readily admit that we are underdog ourselves. To overcome any difficult situation, the person who is facing big challenge has to put one's faith in someone or something. It can be one's own capability, it's or oneself, or someone who inspired them. So, it's one thing for you to trust yourself, your own capability in a sports game. But what about lifetime? What about your own life? It's a different story. Whom are you going to put your faith into? Upon, rather. One of my favorite Christian authors is A.W. Tozer, because you know that I quote his comment often. He once said that nothing twists and deforms the soul more than a low and unworthy conception of God. If you don't think about God properly, it pretty much deforms and twists your soul. I think that is true, because if you don't understand who God is, if your view of God is warped, then it will affect you in the way you believe in Him and the way you handle your life. We must have a proper understanding of a character and the nature of God. Consequently, if you don't know our God well, we believe in wrong deity. Are you with me on that? If you don't believe the same God that Bible describes, you start to make your own God, you are not serving one true God. You're making your own God. Many people do that. So-called Christians, some of them is like, well, my God is a God of love, so He will forgive all my sins and overlook my sins. It doesn't work that way. For the last 5 weeks, we've been studying about the people who are inducted into the Hall of Faith, in chapter 11. As I mentioned before, at the beginning of this study, and the people who are listed here are great men and women of God, and they have a great faith. At the same time, they are the people with a lot of flaws, like you and me. Don't ever think that they were super Christian, super saint. They were average normal people just like you and me. Then what is the difference between them and us? They learned to trust God. This brings the three essential reminders to encourage us. First thing is, people are people. Nothing more. Say it with me. People are people, nothing more. No born-again Christian has a super faith from the day one. Everyone in the family of God was just plain, ordinary sinners. And we all start from the leveled ground, ground zero. And some of us learn to trust ourselves less and trust God more. And while we're doing that, we learn the important lesson from the Word of God and remember the faithfulness of God. Here is the biggest tip that I can give you for your faith. The people who have a great faith, they remember God's faithfulness during the time of difficulties, whether He came through according to their prayer request or not. And we only think about when God came through the way we want. When God says no, and against our prayer request, He answered our prayer. whether we like it or not. Second element is very important. God is God, nothing less. Say with me, God is God, nothing less. Our Lord is the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed since the creation of the universe. He is the God of the Noah, Abraham, and Moses, who cared for them and took care of them. And He is no less involved with our lives than He was with theirs. And don't ever think that God favors anyone particularly. And you're thinking, well, God thinks that Billy Graham is a favorite kid. No, He's not. When Billy Graham prayed to the Lord, He listened. When you pray, if you're a born-again Christian, when you pray to the Lord, He listens. He is all ears to listen to you. There's no red telephone that Billy Graham has so he can pick it up and make a direct line to God. Third element we must remember, miracles are miracle, nothing else. Say it with me, miracles are miracles, nothing else. Again, one of my favorite author, Christian author, is C.S. Lewis, and he defines miracles in this way. An interference with nature by God's supernatural power. It is a human impossible event that occurs in natural realm apart from natural causes for the purpose of glorifying the Lord. So if you are praying for the Corvette or Lamborghini, most likely I really doubt that you will get it unless it glorifies the Lord. And you may think, well, if I drive the Lamborghini to the church, it will glorify God. No, I don't think so. As I said before, a miracle can be, if a miracle can be explained and duplicated by human, it is not a miracle by God. Somehow the word miracle became very cheap. They say, well, I found this from Amazon.com. It's a miracle. No, it's not. Or, we got to do this. It's a miracle. Let me think about it. Let's stop and pray. Father, how selfish we are, how generous you are. We tend to think everything according to our sphere, according to our ways, according to our plans. And then we try to squeeze you in within our world. Father, let us learn from our Savior and Lord who devoted His life while He was on the earth, always set a time aside to speak to you, to hear from you, though He Himself is a Father, and Himself is a God. He had an intimate relationship with the Father. Let us be more like Him, less like ourselves. And let us learn from this great man and woman of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may bring honor to Your name. Father, we are asking You anointing from the Holy Spirit be upon our heart that we may understand Your truth and Your anointing especially to the one who speaks. Let him not speak his own word, but let him speak Your word that Your people may understand what You want them to hear without any misunderstanding. Let them be the best fellowship in the world because You're the one who's teaching, not me. Father, we also pray that Your will be done in President Obama's life, that he may come to know Christ as his Savior and Lord. We pray for our troops and our law enforcement personnel and firefighters, and you protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 30 of chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, please. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the hallowed Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. 40 years after crossing the Red Sea, the Israelites finally crossed Jordan River. They are in the promised land. They are in the promised land, and somehow without Moses. Because Moses disobeyed God, and he disqualified himself. Now Joshua took over the leadership of 2 million people, and their first target is high-walled and fortified city known as Jericho. What made the Israelites puzzled was not the target, Jericho itself, but the God's strategy to attack Jericho. God told Joshua, I'm summarizing what he says, I want you to lead your people with a praise band in the front. Encircle around the city of Jericho once. Okay, now what? Attack? He said, no, go home. Huh? Okay, you do that for 6 days. All right, we're going to taunt them. Good. Seventh day, you do it for 7 times. Attack? No, you shout. That's all. I really doubt that that plan would not be recorded in the United States Army U.S. Point Military Academy. That would not be the standard attack strategy. So, what's that got to do with the human? Nothing. God expects them to just do what they are told to do. Listen, faith is believing in spite of evidence. Let me say this one more time. Faith is believing in spite of evidence. It is obeying in spite of consequences. Not a one stone of the Jericho walls were moved until the Israelites did what they were told to do. Marching and shouting had nothing to do with the destruction of the wall. It has everything to do with the Lord, who showed himself great and strong, and when they obeyed him against all odds. God is God, nothing less. Miracle of God happened, nothing else. Human intervention, zip, nothing, nada. When everyone within the wall of Jericho chose to ignore what God of Israel did with opening the Red Sea and destroying all these ites, you know, this Amalekite, Ammonite, all this, you know, candlelight, all of those people, and destroyed on the way to the promised land. They knew. They heard for 40 years. By now, they should have got the hint. Out of all those people, only one woman accept the fact God of Israel is the real God and none of the God of Canaan are real. So that woman must be noble and intelligent, right? No, she was a hooker. She was a prostitute. Unlikely person to put the faith in true God of Israel. She was saved by God's grace while other inhabitants of Jericho were mocked for death. What kind of ratio? Just about the same kind of ratio as the Christian, born-again Christian versus unbelievers around the world. Majority of people are in America, especially, they think that they are Christian, but they are not Christian because they believe God in the way they like to believe. They are making their own God. Remember what I said? Our ideas get warped. Making our own God, that's a wrong deity to serve. God's grace did not stop at saving her life and her family's life. Later, she married Salmon, and gave birth to Boaz, who was the great-grandfather of King David. In other words, our Lord Jesus Christ's lineage goes back through the once pagan prostitute. If you are choosing God's lineage, wouldn't you choose some royal family? No. Here, God chose pagan harlot. That's the grace of God. So God is God, nothing less. Now let's take a look at the triumphs of the faithful people in verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of the David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued the kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, and quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, and turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Here is a list of people whom we are familiar with, from the Bible. Listen, faith can operate in the life of any person. Did you hear me? Any person who will dare to listen to God's word and surrender to God's will. Let me say this one more time. Faith can operate in the life of any person who will dare to listen to God's word and surrender to God's will. Do you know a little child, 5-6 years old child, who believes in God's word and saying they can do the miracles? Now, let me rephrase. God can do the miracles through them. Why? Because they have a simple faith in God. They don't think complicated things like we do. We hear this word, a childlike faith. That's what it needs. Let's go over each one of these people quickly, and so that we can learn something from them. Gideon. He said as a total wimp. He was hiding. He was hiding from the Midianite and Malachite. But God chose him. God said, hey, mighty warrior. And he said, who? God, he thought God was talking to somebody behind him. God used him. God used him to destroy the Midianite and the Malachite. What's that got to do with Gideon? Nothing. That's the point. How about Barak? He won the resounding victory over Canaanite. But was he really victor? Not really. Because he said to the prophetess Deborah, if you don't go to battle with me, I'm not going. Wow, you need a woman to hold your hand to go to battle? You're in trouble, General. See, both Gideon and Barak are encouragement to us because their faith faltered, like our faith sometimes. Third person, Samson. He's a descendant, we call them Samsonite. Okay, that's a corny joke. Never mind, forget it. He had so much potential to do wonderful things from the beginning. Because his birth was anointed by God, appointed to him, he was told that he should remain as Nazarite. Don't get confused with the Nazarene, who are people who were born in Nazareth. He should remain as a separate person for God, dedicated person for God. But he chose to do all the wrong things. His life was pretty much driven by his carnal desire. And he was not doing what God told him to do. Yet at the end, he trusted the Lord to help and deliver him, and he was willing to live his life to defeat the enemy in the last moment. See, Samson is a good example not to live a double life and expecting God to bless us. I've seen many believers living the double lives. I don't know where you are. If you're living the double life, you come here and raising your hand and praising God on Sunday morning, and you live like a heathen on Monday and through Saturday. Yes, God is speaking to you. Make your life right. Fourth person, Jephthah. Some of you may not know him well, but he is in the book of Judges in chapter 11. The Lord used him to defeat Ammonite, according to Judges chapter 11. He was trying to negotiate with God. He said, Lord, let me win this battle. If you let me win this battle, I will sacrifice the first one come out from my house when I return. He won. God let him win. And he came home. Wouldn't you know, the first one came out of his house is his only child, his daughter. And he's thinking, oh, I have to sacrifice her. I'm going to use a biblical word. Stupid. It's mentioned three times in the Bible. God does not require human sacrifice. What he actually did is he kept her the law, according to the law of vow, and kept her as a virgin the rest of her life. See, this teaches us not to presume God's will. Not to presume God's will, nor should we think that we can negotiate with God. Don't we do that? You let me have this. Then I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do that. We make a promise. It's like a salesperson trying to sell ice to the Eskimo. It doesn't work. God's going to have God's way. Remember what I said at the beginning? Humans are human, nothing more. God is God, nothing less. It is impossible to go over the examples of faith in everyone here. Even the author of the book of Hebrews stopped naming after David and Samuel. They were great women and men of God because they continuously, get this, chose to trust God who had been faithful and loving to them in the past. Problem is that we forget how faithful he has been to us. We only remember bad time. It happened this, it happened this, it happened this. I go through all this trouble. When that happened, what happened to you? Was God there for you? Uh-huh. Okay, when the second thing happened, was God there for you? Uh-huh. Then why you remember only bad things, you don't remember good things God did for you? Isn't that what we do? Come on, don't look at me with that saint look. That's what we do. That's why we don't have a faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we often get defeated. That's why we often get upset. So that's the key of their faith. They continuously say with me, chose to trust the Lord. The key is chose. They choose to trust God. All right, this time, tragedy of the faithful. Second half of verse 35. And the others were tortured in not accepting deliverance that they might, note the word, obtain a better resurrection. Still others had the trials of mocking and scourging, yes, of chains and imprisonment. Stop there for a moment, please. What does it mean, better resurrection? There are two types of resurrections. One, those unbelievers. They will be resurrected too, so that they can be thrown into hell for the eternal punishment. But better resurrection, those who believe in Jesus Christ will be resurrected too, so that they can end up in heaven. You with me on that? Okay. Verse 37, they were stoned, not by weed. They were sown in two. They were having a split personality. were tempted and then were slain with the sword. And they wonder about the sheepskins and goatskins being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wander in the desert and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Not all the women and men of God have experienced and will experience God's miraculous deliverance. As a matter of fact, there are more people who are tortured and died than the one who were delivered by the miracles of God. Then we have this honest question. Does it mean that God lost control? Does it mean that battle against evil, did he lose? Or the circumstance? Absolutely not. For the unknown divine reason to us, the Lord chose not to deliver those godly people with his miracles. Listen, it takes more faith in God to endure than it does to escape. Are you with me? It takes more faith to endure than escape. According to a Christian organization known as the Voice of Martyr, some of you guys know that organization very well, there are more Christians being persecuted and killed in 20th and 21st century than the last 1900 years combined. Did you get that? More people being persecuted, more people being killed. If you have not read the book called Fox Books of Martyr, I highly recommend. You need to read. It's a classic. And the Jesus Freak, like this one. It's a more modern-day version. All these examples of the people who got killed in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I'd rather hang around with those people than somebody who walks around with a legalistic attitude. Please don't think that the persecution against Christians will not happen in America. It's been happening and will be intensified. We might even go to the point where we have to choose whether we are going to die for the name of Jesus Christ or deny his name so that we can live cowardly in the world. The decision by the U.S. Supreme Court a few weeks ago is one of the wide open doors of persecution that are facing against Christianity. Go to Daniel chapter 3, please, our memory verse. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. If that is the case, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar here, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully, please. If our Lord said that he would glorify himself to deliver his people, he will. But if he sees fit to be glorified not delivering his people, then he will not. That's his sovereignty. God is not obligated to do whatever we ask him to do. We must never conclude that absence of God's deliverance as a lack of God's love for his people. Whether people would like to accept the fact that heaven is so much better than the meager earth or not, when the Lord allowed his saint to face their death, he is not deserting them. He is welcoming them to his heaven. Do you know heaven is really better than earth? Did you get that? So if we are leaving this earth to the better place, is there a loss for us? There is one person whom I know. She is an elderly lady. She has a horrible life. And she thinks that she had to live a long life just because she was brainwashed by this so-called faith movement people. If you're a Christian, if you're a good Christian, you've got to have a long life and a wealthy life. Otherwise, you're not a Christian. So she is living in this horrible, horrible life, and she thinks that she's got to live no matter what. Okay? No. I'm going to quote once more from the C.S. Lewis in his book, The Grief Observed. You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death to you. The only real risk tests the reality of a belief. That is so good. What I'm about to tell you is not to boast about my faith in Jesus Christ, but I want you to kind of ask yourself, would I do that? Would I willing to do that kind of thing? I said this to my daughter when she was 14. Good conversation to do with the 14-year-old one. Listen. This is what I told her. If somebody come to our family and put the gun on your head and demand from me that I denounce the name of Jesus Christ, or they will kill you. And she was looking at me with wide eyes, and I told her, I'll let you die because I will not denounce my name of my God's name, and I know where you're going. Now, listen to me, Michelle. If somebody put the gun on my head or your mom's head to denounce your God's name, don't do that. It's a nice conversation between daughter and father. Ask yourself, would you do that? Would you denounce your God for your loved one? Please don't answer. You probably will say, nice, sainty answer here. But if somebody put the gun on your child's head, your grandchild's head, I'm going to kill this kid if you don't denounce your name of God. Your God's name. And you may say, well, I'll denounce it, but I will not denounce it in real. By the way, those who are into prosperity gospel theology, which is nothing more than heresy, they do not like to teach this portion of the Bible because it goes against their heresies. Their heresy says, if you're a Christian, as I mentioned before, the faith movement people, if you're a Christian, you will never be sick, you will never go poor, and you will never go through trials. What we read, these people are inducted by God to be in the hall of faith. These are the faithful people of God. And they went through torture. They went through the martyr. Who should I believe? The heresy one side or the God and His Word? Don't let anyone tell you, if you are poor, if you are in disease, and you are not a good Christian, you don't have a faith. One application. Faith in God is possible to all kinds of believers in all kinds of situations. It is not a luxury for a few super saints. Rather, it is a necessity for all of God's people that we may overcome difficulties on this earth. Would you recite with me, please? Humans are human, nothing more. God is God, nothing less. Miracles are miracle, nothing else. Don't forget it.